Mubarak Awad is a Palestinian who has tried to create a nonviolent resistance movement in Israel's occupied territories. In 1985, after spending 15 years in the U.S., he founded the Palestinian Center for the Study of Nonviolence in East Jerusalem. He drew up 120 methods of civil disobedience to protest the occupation. According to Israeli journalists Zev Schiff and Ehud Ya'ari, Awad was seen as a curiosity on the fringe of the Palestinian rebellion until the early days of the Intifada, when his center's pamphlets became the hottest items in town and the Unified Command adopted whole parts of his program. Israel expelled Awad in 1988. The government accused him of being an instigator of the Intifada. He was ordered to leave the country after his tourist visa expired. Awad had become an American citizen in 1978. Secretary of State George Shultz and U.S. Ambassador Thomas Pickering protested the deportation. Awad now lives in Washington, D.C., where he heads an organization called Nonviolence International. I asked him how he got interested in nonviolence as a means of opposition.
Well, I'm first a Christian individual who is an Arab, and I was raised by my mother. And my father died in the war of 1948. And my mother always insists that I should not have revenge, I would not live right. She told me that the one who killed your father never knew that he left me alone with seven children. And also I was so much influenced by two groups, group of Mennonites and Quakers who come to the Middle East not to convert us from to become better Christians or to be Baptist or Methodists, but they start living with us and dealing with us with the situation that really affected me so much that, say, why for a fellow who come to the Middle East and leave America to live with us in this misery? But they want to share our misery, and I felt a compassion with that, so I felt of doing it myself.
Your father was killed in 1948. What were the circumstances of his death?
He was working like a first aid, and he was pulling an Israeli or a Jordanian or somebody who had been wounded to bring it to my mother, because my mother was nurse, and he was shot while doing that.
Were you uprooted from your home when you were young?
Yes, when I was 5 years old, I was living in the section which became Israel, so I have to leave everything and go to the old city of Jerusalem, which became part of Jordan. And then we live as refugees all our life.
Did you grow up with a lot of anger toward Israelis for displacing you?
Oh, yes. Anger and hate and frustration and also very much of disappointment of the situation that happened. And it's a lot of anger.
Do you still feel that anger and hatred?
No. And I think that's where it becomes necessary for Palestinians to meet Israelis, and then after meeting, for the Israelis to tell their own stories, and that they have been also in a suffering, and they went through hell themselves too, that I became also saying that, all right, that if you went with hell and suffering, don't do that hell and suffering for us. Is there a possibility that we could live together, or we could have each one his own state, that we could both exist rather than killing each other?
You spent a lot of time in Israeli prisons when you were growing up. What for?
Most of the time after the war of 67, because I was always very active telling Palestinians to close shops, not to eat any Israeli product, that we should not accept occupation, and don't fool from the Israeli community that they treat us nice. Their dream is to take the land, and that's what they did in 48. So I was, to the Israeli, I was a troublemaker and trying to make life miserable for them, and I was.
Were you ever violent in your protests against Israel before turning to nonviolence?
Oh, no, never. Never. Even when I was in high school, I refused to carry a gun, completely refused. And in all my activities have always been in nonviolent activities.
Can you give us an idea of what conditions were like in the occupied territories in East Jerusalem, where you lived, what the conditions were like that made you oppose Israel so strongly for occupying those territories?
Well, first, I'm a Palestinian. I'm an Arab. And to be occupied by someone who don't speak my language or who is not interested in my cause, it's a disaster. Most of the Arab countries, they got their independence. When we, as Palestinians, we tried to get our independence here, the Jews came and they divided Palestine, and the Palestinians have no nationality. Then, being a Palestinian also, you always are discriminated against in an Israeli society, in a Jewish society. If you want to have a permit, or if then you need to wait for at least 6 or 7 months to get a permit, even a permit for a driver license. If you want to build something, they would not allow you. If you want to travel, you have to take restriction. Even your license plate have to be different because you are a Palestinian. You are discriminating against you because you are a Palestinian. You are able to come anytime they put you in jail and in prison without any cause, and you could stay over there for 6 months. And so life have been really a misery on a daily basis. It's like a whole community, we became non-people, non-existence. And to change that is to say, hey, we cannot be ruled by anybody. We have to have a Palestinian state.
As a Christian Palestinian, were you in the minority of Palestinians?
Yes, as a Christian, I'm a minority, but I did not use the center as a Christian Palestinian. I became active in an activity of nonviolence as a Palestinian nationalist rather than a Palestinian Christian. Yet, because of my Christianity, I became nonviolent.
Did you feel that it would be divisive to make the center Christian-oriented?
If the center became a Christian-oriented center, we will not succeed at all. And my hope in that time that I will be able to convince even a Muslim that he will become a leader of a nonviolence movement, that he will start preaching it from the mosque, because of the majority of the people are Muslim, and that then nonviolence will be successful.
Can you give us an example of a technique or a tactic that you tried in the early days of Intifada that you thought caught on and was successful?
Many. One of the things which we try hard was when, like olive trees, when the Israeli soldiers will come and uproot olive trees to build a settlement, we will go over there and we either also some Palestinians and Israelis together, and we plant small olive tree seedlings so that the Israeli would not take the land. And we did that so many times. We also try to tell Palestinians it's not shameful to go to prison, that you have to be proud. And people start competing, villages from each other, saying, well, there is 200 people in prison from our village. The others say, oh, we pass by. We have 500 people in prison. So it becomes a competition that to be in prison, it's all right, it's acceptable, it's something good rather than something dirty or something unethical.
I think a lot of our listeners will be wondering how you, who preaches nonviolence, can feel comfortable working with the PLO, which has always been an organization that has advocated violence and what most people regard as acts of terrorism.
Well, the PLO is like a government. And for any listener to understand how I could talk to the PLO and work with the PLO, the same thing if anybody who believes in nonviolence or in peace working with the American government. Part of the organization is an armed struggle organization who believe in guns, or it's an army for them. So as a Palestinian myself, I do not see the PLO as a terrorist organization. I see it as a liberation organization, and part of the PLO who carry guns are part of an army that the PLO, they have that. Since they are not on their own land, they are in the exile, they are using all kind of methods which an army use. I mean, if Israel, for example, will go and hit in Lebanon, we don't call it terrorist because it's a government. Or if United States will go and hit Panama, it's a government. But if an organization will go and hit Panama or go and hit other people, this is terrorism. We don't see it. I don't see it as that. I see that the PLO is the only organization that the Palestinians we have. It have some good and some bad things. And it's up to us to make the changes within the PLO to make it, quote, perfect organization, where there is no perfect organization in the world.
What is your response when the PLO, when a group within the PLO blows up a bus of civilians?
I will come against it. And I will urge other Palestinians and even the PLO leaders that this is wrong and this is not the way we have to do it. Then if they, and that's how we have to do it within, and to make the change within our society. And I am one of those who is so much supporter of the PLO. And for me, the changes that happen in the PLO are so marvelous changes that at least they are restraining themselves so much till now. It's an amazing thing that they are able to do it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Mubarak Awad heads Nonviolence International in Washington, D.C.